Well, good morning, everyone. As you were hearing, in just over a week, Rita and I are heading off to Spain. But I have to say, we've really enjoyed our 4 weeks in Brighton. Thank you so much for your great welcome. It's really been appreciated. And a week tomorrow, we are heading off to the Costa del Sol in Spain. Somebody's got to go there, of course. And we're going to be working with YWAM there and focusing in on North Africa, but particularly Morocco. One of the things we've been giving out in the last few weeks is a sort of a prayer card. And I'd just like to flag this. If you would like one, then please come and see Rita or myself at the end of the service and we'll give you one. It's got prayer contacts and some contact details. And we put out a blog around about once a month of the sort of things we've been involved in. So if you've got a computer and you want to find out what we're up to, you can go to that blog. In fact, we normally email people when the blog is published. So if you'd like to know when we're publishing a new blog, then just email me, the email details are here, and just say blog reminder, and I'll make sure that that comes to you. And for some of you who are thinking, well, I'm not on the web yet, well, we do a paper copy as well, and if you'd like to see my mum, she normally has those, and she'll make sure that you get one so you can keep up with us. Well, let's just pray together, shall we? Lord, we want to thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it's a living word. And we pray that your word would lodge in our hearts this morning. Speak to us those things we need to hear. May we be blessed and encouraged and strengthened as we hear your living word this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, whether you're 8 or 80, you've probably got one of these, a mobile phone. And you might look at this and think, well, you know, that's a rather big mobile phone. Mine's a lot slimmer. Do you want to look at mine? But I have to say, in the words of a famous advert on TV, this is not just a mobile phone. This is a mobile phone with computer. Ooh. Now I know some of you guys are going green with envy. I have to confess that I've never bought a mobile phone in my life. The good thing about having grown-up children is you get all their hand-me-downs. And this is a hand-me-down from Louise, my eldest daughter. And I have to say that I've already got my eye on her new model. I know it's coming my way. Now, with the mobile phone, you get the manuals. Two manuals, one for the phone, one for the mini computer. And if you want to get the best out of the mobile phone, you've got to be reading the manuals, correct? Well, you know where I'm going with this. It's the same with life. If you want to get the very best out of life, you and I, we have to read God's manual. This is such a wonderful, precious book. And it tells us about God and his love for us. It tells us about Jesus and how he died for our sins and made the way for us to go and be with him in heaven when we die. And it also talks about how to conduct our lives, how to conduct our relationships. And in the last few weeks, that's what we've been looking at. We've been looking at how to conduct our relationships. Relationships between wives and husbands. Relationships between children and parents. And then last week, David very helpfully talked about slaves and masters, or in the up-to-date language, employee-employer relationships. And all of it has been very, very helpful. I just want to say, before we get into the text of this morning, you know, relationships are so important, aren't they? Right relationships are so important. Somebody once said, right relationships are a little bit of heaven on earth. Wrong relationships are a little bit of hell on earth. I don't know if you'd agree with that, but I think I would. They're so important. And you know, if we are not making relationships in our lives our top priority, then I think somehow we're missing the whole point of life. Life is all about relationship, isn't it? Firstly, with our Father God, and then secondly, with those around us. Right relationship. It's been so helpful as we've gone through that study. Well, let's continue in the chapter 6 of Ephesians, and it's page 1177 in the Church Bible here. You may like to turn to it. The heading here is the armor of God. And in verse 10 of Ephesians 6, it says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. I find it interesting that in this letter to the Christians in Ephesus, which is modern-day Turkey, Paul starts his letter by talking about the spiritual blessings in Christ. And he ends it with talking about spiritual warfare. Now, of course, all of us are aware, or most of us would be aware, that this whole idea of spiritual warfare isn't just confined to this passage. I wonder if we could just have some scriptures that I've picked out that talk about this theme of spiritual warfare. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And then Paul again says in 2 Timothy 2:3, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And then in Corinthians 10:3-5, it says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ." This is such an important subject. And I've split it into 3 points. Some of you know how I struggle with 3 points, but I think I've managed it this morning. And the 3 points we're going to look at is this: our power in battle, our purpose in battle, and our protection in battle. Let's have a look, first of all, at our power in battle. You know, one of the things I like about Paul is this. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." When he comes to look at this whole area of spiritual warfare, he starts by focusing on Jesus. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I like that. Not just power, but his mighty power. Let's get things right at the beginning. We've got a great God, haven't we? David was talking last week about the power and authority of Jesus. And we need to keep reminding ourselves that he is the one who is almighty and all-powerful. And here Paul is reminding us of that. I don't know about you, but, you know, sometimes I have to remind myself of God's power. You know, so often it's quite easy to think that we're poor, we're weak, we're hopeless, and we're wretched. Anyone ever thought like that? You know, even as I say it, my head begins to, you know, drop. Oh, yeah, oh, I'm such a wretched Christian. You've no idea how bad I am. We've all thought that at times, and the devil loves us to think those things. But sometimes I've had to just, you know, rise up in my thinking, say, no, that's not true. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. You're a daughter of God. God's power is in me. Oh, boy, that's better. I'm beginning to feel stronger already. Have you ever seen the film King Kong? Some of you may have seen King Kong. Well, in Hollywood, in the Hollywood movie, he's just a giant ape. And, you know, sometimes I just feel like I'm a giant ape when it comes to the enemy. And, you know, I say, I've got the power of God in me. And I just walk towards my goal. And the enemy can throw what he likes at me. You know, he can throw fear and unbelief or it's criticism or whatever. But I'm just going to, like King Kong, keep marching on towards my goal. Because God's power lives in me. You know, it says in Romans this, the very power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Dwells in you, Lucy. Wow. Dwells in you, Kathy. Wow. Dwells in you, John. Wow. Dwells in you, Keith. Wow. Dwells in each one of us. The very power of God. Ooh, I'm feeling good. So it starts by saying, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And then he goes on and says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your schemes against the devil. Well, we're going to have a look at the armor in just a moment. But what are some of the devil's schemes. I want to talk about one or two of them this morning. And, you know, my preference would be just to concentrate on Jesus. But in this passage, we've got to look at some things. And I want to say this morning, and I believe it with all my heart, the truth about the devil will set us free as much as the truth about Jesus. Because you see, it says you should know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so we're going to have a look at some of the things. Well, we know that he's the father of lies. It talks about him being our adversary. He's the destroyer. He's the accuser of the brethren. Anyone felt the enemy accuse them at times? I can put one hand up. I can put two hands up. And if I could, I'd put two legs up as well. Because he is an accuser, isn't he? And we all know what it's like as he comes and accuses us. And he's a tempter. But let's go back to what I just said. The very power of God dwells within us. It talks here about the devil's schemes, and the devil has lots of schemes, but, you know, as I was meditating on this passage, I just thought to myself, this is really interesting. He's been talking about human relationships. And then suddenly, there's a big change of attack, isn't there? It's almost like, well, didn't expect this. From relationships, he's now talking about spiritual warfare. Why here? That's the question I asked. Why not at the beginning of the letter? Why not partway through the letter? Why here? Well, I think I might have part of the answer. And part of the answer is this. Because the enemy knows that if he can destroy relationships, he's on a winner. As we've been looking at relationships, his schemes are to destroy good, wholesome relationship. Because that is his nature. And, you know, we see that, don't we? How he's been very successful in, destroying the sort of three key relationships we've been talking about over the last few Sundays. You know, wives and husbands. How many marriages are breaking up today as the enemy has got in and brought division? What about children and parents? You know, there's so many breakups between parents and children, particularly in the teenage years. You know, this week, we've been hearing about the death of Rhys Jones. That was in Croxteth in Liverpool. Actually, not too far from where Rita and I live. We know the area well. And they haven't found the 15-year-old or the person responsible. But there's one thing I'm sure. As he's caught, and as people look back over his life, I am sure they will find somewhere down the road some broken relationships. And he himself is hurting by the way he's been treated. And of course, there's the employee-employer relationship, and we know how there can be so many problems there. Well, let's move on to verse 12. And verse 12 is just the key verse, I think, that I want to look at in this passage this morning. So let's move on. We've looked at our power in battle. Now I want us to have a look at our purpose in battle. And what I'd like us to do, can you just go back to that I'd like us to read this together. It's in the Authorized Version, and that's for a purpose. But can we just read this together? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay, let's move on. Our purpose in battle. And can you go back? Sorry. Yes. Back another one. We'll get there in a minute, folks. Just hang on. I want us to just have a look at that phrase to start with. We wrestle not. And that's it. We wrestle not. I've entitled the message today, We Wrestle Not. And the reason I've done that is because I feel there are some people who are a bit wary about this whole area of spiritual warfare. A little bit spooky to them. I think, whoa, you know, hang on a minute. I don't want to be involved in anything like that. They've got this sort of idea that if they leave the devil alone, he will leave them alone. Folks, I want to say this morning, that is not true. It's not true. The devil doesn't give you time out. He's on your case every day of every week of every month. He is. You see, something happened when we became Christians. And I'd like us to have a look at Colossians 1 and 13. And it says this, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. You see, we were, as it were, the devil's friend. But when we came into the kingdom of God, we became his enemy, and we are now God's friend. And the enemy doesn't like that, and he's going to try all he can to stop us getting to know God, growing in God, and loving him. He can attack us in all sorts of ways, but I just thought this morning that it was right just to read something from the Word for today. Has anybody got this? Well, I know a few use it. I just find it very helpful, and it was in Wednesday, August the 15th, that I read this. The devil's strongest attacks often come in your quiet time, when you're trying to apply what you've studied. As long as you're content with head knowledge, you're no threat to his plans. But as soon as you get serious about making changes, Satan will fight you tooth and nail. He hates doers of the word. He doesn't mind you studying your Bible as long as you don't stop to ask, now, what am I going to do with what I've learnt? Wow. See, the enemy wants to fight us tooth and nail. He doesn't want us to apply the word of God. And I was just thinking as I was meditating on this, I just thought, you know, when we go home after a Sunday morning and we're having lunch together, what do we often do? We talk about the sermon, don't we? We might say, well, you know, I'm not sure about what was said this morning, you know. I wouldn't have put it that way. Thought it could be put better. Or we might say, well, that sermon was too long. And sometimes, you know, we might say, well, I think the sermon was a bit too short, actually. I didn't quite feel I got my money's worth. And I think many times we just say, hey, that was a really great sermon. I loved it. That was excellent. You know, I agreed with it through and through. In fact, I hope dear Mrs. Jones was listening because I think it was particularly for her. Well, how about today, if you talk about the church service and the sermon at all, you say, in the light of what we've heard today, what lifestyle changes do I need to bring? How can I put what I've heard into practice? Help me, Lord, to be a doer of your word and not hearers only. We wrestle not, it says. But actually, in its context, and I want to bring it into its context now, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Do you know, I think if Christians over the centuries had focused on fighting the devil rather than one another, we'd be in a far better place than we are now. Amen? Amen. Too often, the enemy hoodwinks us to think that the problem is with other people. And he just loves it. I think he has a wide smile on his face when he sees us, as it were, fighting one another. You know, all too often, we have been guilty. I have been guilty of defending my own position in anger, criticizing others, offended or condemned others. And of course, as we're doing that, we're not resisting him. And that is what we should be doing, because our battle, our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in the heavenly places. And then the last part, as I've just said, principalities. What's a principality? I had a look in the dictionary, and it's a prince over a territory. And you see, I believe that, God has his unseen forces, the angels, and they're constantly working on his behalf, watching over us at times, I believe. But the devil also has his unseen evil forces, and they are working under him. They're organized, and they're seeking to stop the work of God. And, you know, in Daniel, let's just have a look at Daniel, because we see one of these principalities there, and let me just read it to you. Do not be afraid, Daniel. From the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. There was a prince, an unseen force, as it were, over what is modern-day Iran. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me, because I was detained there with the Prince of Persia. Now, I don't know what you think about this, but when we went to Liverpool, I felt we came in under a spirit of apathy and hopelessness. That was in 1985. It's changed a lot now. And you could see it all around you. It was fairly evident, actually. Decaying buildings, litter everywhere, high unemployment. They just seemed, you looked at people and you just felt, the city is just full of people who are really hopeless, apathy. You could see it all around us. In the row of houses that we lived in, each one had just a very small strip of garden outside. And as we were praying about these things, we decided we'd come in the opposite spirit to that one of apathy. So we cleared the litter, we got rid of the weeds, we planted our flowers in that little stretch of earth just to make a statement, just to make a difference. Well, guess what? Within a week or two, other people in our row were beginning to clear their weeds and litter and plant flowers. I thought, yes, you know, we can make a difference. And I think that what we did was an act of spiritual warfare. Just by doing that, it made a difference. Well, that's Liverpool. What about Brighton and Hove? I wonder what you think. If there's a principality over this area, I wonder what you think it is. Well, I'll tell you one of them that I feel, and that is lust and immorality. We just see it everywhere. I'll be honest with you, folks. When I come into this area, I struggle more with my thought life than in other places. What can we do about that? Well, I know that for myself, as I come into this sort of atmosphere, I just need to keep a real check on my thought life. In fact, I think, you know, some of you might be feeling, some of you older folks might be feeling, well, hang on a minute, Dave, I don't know what all the fuss about. The fuss is all about. Well, maybe you don't understand, but for us young people, we know. We know what the fuss is all about. And I'm sure that there'll be people in this room today struggling in this area. Well, I'm not surprised. You're living in an atmosphere where lust and immorality is a sort of a constant pressure. We're bombarded from all angles with sexual images. And I would just say, particularly for the men, but it's not exclusive to the men, let's make sure we stand against the enemy. And I think one of the ways to wage spiritual warfare, folks, is just to be open and honest about what you're going through. If you don't have somebody that you can, you know, get with, and they can say to you, how's your thought life doing? How's it been this week? You know, if you haven't got somebody like that who asks those sort of questions, can I say, please get hold of somebody and share with them. Don't let the enemy, as it were, get an advantage over you. Because as we live pure and holy lives, so we are waging warfare against the enemy. And there's all sorts of other ways we can wage war against the enemy. Of course, I believe one of our weapons is praise. You might not believe in spiritual warfare. Well, let me tell you, you've been involved in it this morning. Because praise is a weapon against the enemy. Our testimony is a weapon against the enemy. I love it when we have testimony from the front here, don't you? There's something good about that. Revelations 11, I think it is, it says that the saints overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives to death. And sometimes, you know, I see something and I just get riled up. I don't know whether you do, but I just get riled up and say, why should the enemy get away with this? I resist you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I refuse to allow you to do that. And that's scriptural because it says, resist the devil. Submit yourself to God first. And let's do it if we're not submitted under the lordship of Jesus Christ. But it says, resist the devil. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You know, let's not be afraid of the devil. This is really important. Let's not be afraid of the devil, because Jesus never was. And Jesus is living inside of us if we know him. In 1 John it says this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We're on the winning side, folks. Hallelujah. We know that the victory is sure. Hallelujah. And we can go forth into this coming week knowing that although the enemy might try and trip us up, we have the victory. We can stand against him. We can make a difference for the kingdom of God. Well, my time's gone. But just to finish the passage, and what I think I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray a prayer regarding the armor of God and just pray that over us. You know, it's possible to take 12 weeks over this passage. To try and do it in one Sunday morning is quite difficult. But it says, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. I think sometimes, you know, we have some days that are really evil. Do you know what I mean? You know, I've heard people say, I've had one hell of a day. Have you ever said that? It's just been awful. I remember once a couple had been to a marriage refreshment weekend, and basically the husband knew that he hadn't been really good to his wife, so he decided on the money that instead of just coming home in his dirty clothes and slumping into the chair and watching TV till the meal was ready, he decided that he was going to clean himself up at work, put on some new clothes, buy some flowers on the way home, and he knocked on the door, and then with a big smile and flourish, he said, hello, darling, these are for you. And then she burst into tears. And he said, oh, what's wrong? She said, oh, she says, you won't believe the day I've had. Our little Johnny fell in the playground and broke his arm. And I've been in hospital most of the day. When I got back, the washing machine hose had burst and the kitchen floor was flooded. And now I've just had a phone call from your mum. She's coming for a whole month. And now look at you. You've come home drunk. Well, sometimes we have really difficult days. But if we've got the full armor of God on, we can take our stand against the enemy. Of course, as we look at the armor, we come lastly to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that takes us right back to where we started. You know, this book is so precious. It tells us about God, tells us about Jesus, tells how we can conduct our relationships, but it also reveals that this is a weapon against the enemy. Jesus used it very effectively in the wilderness, didn't he? He said, it is written. And that is one sure way to defeat the enemy, using the Word of God. That's why memorization of the Word is so important. But let's just come and let's just pray for a moment, shall we? I'm conscious of time, and I just want to pray. Lord, I just ask that you take, as it were, these feeble lips, and Lord, those things that have been of you this morning, would you just underline them in our hearts? Pray that you'd, Lord, help us to recognize who we are in you. That we have your power, your risen power in our lives. Help us to stand against the enemy. Help us, Lord, in all our relationships. Help us, Lord, if we've been fighting people this morning, Lord, we want to say we're sorry we've been fighting people. Would you forgive us? This morning we say, Lord, we want to stop fighting people and wage war where it really should, and that's against the enemy. Help us, Lord, to be fully clothed. When it comes to the belt of truth, I want to say thank you, Lord, for showing me the truth about yourself. Thank you for reminding me that you are the only God, the creator of the heaven and earth, the king of the universe, my father who loves me, and my shepherd who leads me. You are my wisdom, my counselor, my hope, and my strength. You are everything I need each day. And then the breastplate of righteousness. Thank you for showing me the truth about myself, that on my own, I could never be good enough to live in your presence. Thank you for taking my sin to the cross and offering me your righteous life. Lord, show me any sin I need to confess right now so that nothing will stop me being filled to overflowing with your Spirit. Thank you for forgiving me and filling me with your righteous life. Then the sandals of peace. Thank you for the peace you give me when I trust and follow you. Show me how to help others find that peace. The shield of faith. Thank you for helping me have faith in you. I choose to believe everything you have shown me about yourself and everything you have promised me in your word. And then the helmet of salvation. Thank you for promising me salvation both for today's battles and for all eternity. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Thank you for the scriptures you have given me, Lord. Help me to use them effectively to cut through deceptions and gain your victory in any battle I face today. Lord, help us to be clothed with you. Help us to be those who have the full armor of God on so that we can stand against the enemy. And as we go our way, Lord, into this week, I pray that we'd be more and more conscious of your greatness and your glory. And that, Lord, we would, in that, take our stand against the enemy. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.